Welcome and Saba blessing to all the precious family that are joining us in the room on this High Sabbath, July 15, 2023. This is our part two review of our chapter 77 entitled In Pilate's Judgment Hall, part 7 of our lesson 386. I hope and pray everyone can see the presentation in the room, dear ones. We are going to ask our dear brother to bless us once more with our Tiny Tot theme song, Heart Till the Shepherd Voice I Hear, also known as Bring Them In.
Heart is the shepherd's voice I hear, out on the mountain dark and drear. Calling the sheep who've gone astray, far from the shepherd's fold away. Bring them in, bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, bring them in, bring the wandering ones to Jesus. Who go and help this shepherd kind, help him the wandering ones to find, who bring them back into the fold, where they'll be sheltered from the cold. Bring them in, bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, bring them in, bring the wandering ones to Jesus. Out in the desert hear their cry, out on the mountains wild and high. Hark, 'tis the Master speaks to thee. Go find my sheep where'er they be. Bring them in, bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, bring them in, bring the wandering ones to Jesus.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brother. If any one of the little tiny tots, helped by their parents or even elder sibling, would like to open their review section with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Sabbath blessings, everybody. Thank you, God, for this morning. Please protect us. Please sanctify the Sabbath day. Please accept the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days that I labor in the 7 day, the Sabbath of the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Dear ones, we are going to take a little few minutes to hear all the testimonies of the little ones, of the blessing that they have been for their family, mommies or daddies, or even neighbors. May you unmute your mic, dear ones.
Sabbath blessings, everyone. For this week's mommies and daddies, little helpers, and I would like to highlight my niece, Mia. She is not here with us today, but I wanted to highlight her because this week, she was so very helpful, to Haley and Emma, always willing to help them to learn and to grow. And one of the things that she was able to do this week, though not knowing herself how to do it, was to help, Haley to learn to ride her bike. And I thought that was a blessing for her to be able to be such a patient teacher and supportive. And even though that is riding a bike, we know that we can draw many life lessons from the analogy of learning to ride a bike. And I pray that they will continue to help each other, to guide each other, so that they can learn positive things and grow with each other. That's what I'd like to share for mommies and daddies, or in this case, aunties, little blessings.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Is there any adult family that would like to be able to share the blessing that the little one has been in their family? May you unmute your mic.
Have a blessing, everyone.
I
have my granddaughter with me, and she wants to highlight her sister. How does your sister help you?
My sister helped me with my bicycle, with my helmet, and my knee pads.
So I don't know if you guys hear it clearly, but she said that her sister always helped her with her, I guess her bicycle gears, which is the elbow pad and her knee pad and her helmet. So that's how. I also would like to highlight her in that every time that we are doing any little thing, she's always willing to help. She always say, Grandma, can I help you? Can I help you to do the dishes? Can I help you to make the food? She's always willing to help. So wanted to highlight her as well.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Is there any other? Oh, sure. Go ahead, Brother Joel.
Yes, I was blessing everybody. I'm just privileged and advantaged to give this testimony that even if my kids are at school, the Lord has provided Sister Sheila to help them by teaching them Bible stories and every Sabbath evening, our time, when is the hard time, his sacrifices sometimes help me educate my kids Bible stories and the many lessons about God is dealing with these people. So I'm very privileged that on every Sabbath, every weekend, at least my whole family has lesson to learn on Zoom. I myself, as I learn, like tomorrow morning, I'll be learning with Jean. At this juncture, evening, we have just closed the Sabbath days. We are learning on Zoom. Then my kids learn an hour before now with Sister Sheila. So I'm privileged and they are happy to learn with her, and that they sacrifice also sometimes to travel back from school to come and wait for Sister Sheila to teach them. So I feel my family is really blessed with many teachers to help them learn more about our Savior. And it's my prayer that we all one time meet in heaven when Jesus comes. Thank you for all your efforts and for your prayers that my family can be built in the name of Jesus. Thank you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. What a wonderful testimony. And we hope by God's grace that she may be able to continue being a blessing, and that the lesson will be able to go further even from your family and other brothers and sisters as well. Is there anybody else that would like to share what highlights those little one has been in their family or even in the neighborhood? May you unmute your mic. We are going to continue in our review section, dear ones. This is the story time where our dear brother will review the lesson, part 2 of chapter 13, Riding into Jerusalem, of a storybook, the story about Jesus. And I will hand the mic to our dear brother.
Bible verses for our lesson are taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 21, verse 9. This looks like the triumphal entry here. And the multitude that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And Luke 19, 36-38 goes on to say, And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. After such a scene as this, his trial and crucifixion could never be hidden from the world. It was God's design that each event in the closing days of the Savior's life should be so plainly marked that no power could cause it to be forgotten. The devil would love to have the world forget about those scenes, because they have to do with our redemption and eternal life. In the vast multitude surrounding the Savior were the evidences of his miracle-working power. The blind, who he had restored to sight, were leading the way. The dumb, whose tongues he had loosed, shouted the loudest hosannas. The cripples, whom he had healed, leaped for joy and were most active in breaking the palm branches and waving them before him. Widows and orphans were exalting the name of Jesus for his works of mercy to them. Those who had been raised from the dead by the life-giving voice of the Savior were there. We know of three people who were raised to life. There may have been more, because when the disciples of John came to Jesus and spent the day watching him, he said, The dead are raised. Did he raise someone to life that day? We do not know. We'll find out in heaven. And Lazarus, whose body had seen corruption in the grave, in other words, it began to rot, but who was now enjoying the strength of glorious manhood, was with the happy throng and escorted the Savior to Jerusalem. As new numbers were added to the throng, they caught the inspiration of the hour and joined in the shouts that echoed and re-echoed from hill to hill and from valley to valley. Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! That's taken from Matthew 21:9 and from the story of Jesus, pages 84 and 85.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear brother. So next Sabbath, we will continue with our part 3 of our new lesson entitled Riding into Jerusalem in our tiny thought lesson book, The Story About Jesus. And that will take place, dear ones, July 22nd, 2023. We are going to hand back our mic to our dear brother to review the question for the tiny toddler.
All right. What were God's designs for each event in our Savior's closing life? A design is a plan.
So no power can be called, could be called. Is to be begotten.
Yes. He planned the triumphal entry so everybody would see Jesus and shout his praise, who in a short time would see him hanged on a cross, and they would never forget it. In the vast or great multitude, who were leading the way as evidences of his miracle-working power?
The answer is the blind, the dumb, the cripples, and widows, and orphans.
Well, that's what it says on the screen. But it should have said those who once were blind, who once could not speak, who once were crippled, and the widows and the orphans. Blind people wouldn't be leading. It would be those who were restored to sight. Who also was with the happy throng that escorted the Savior to Jerusalem? Lazarus, who was raised from the dead after 4 days. Yes, Lazarus. All right, Rose, back to you.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear brother. It is time for a tiny task to also review their water lesson, part 40, and our dear brother will be the one to share it with us.
So, blessings, everyone. Here's the Water of Life, part 40th review. Part 6 of A Sick Man Healed. In the Bible verse, so the water lessons are taken from the book of John, chapter 5. And the verses are verses 14 to 15, and they say, afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple, and said to him, behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest the worst thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus, which had made him whole. Here from last time, is the instructions on how to make an ice pack. First, here are the materials needed for it. One, a light flannel strip or bandage to wrap the joint. Two or three large towels or an ice bag. Three pieces of plastic to put around the joint. Four, plastic to protect the bed. Five, finely crushed ice or snow. And six, safety pins. And here's how to proceed with instructions on how to use it. One, a bandage the joint lightly. Do not put ice directly on the skin as freezing could occur. Two, step two, spread the finely crushed ice on the towel, forming an inch layer. Adjust the size as needed for the joint. Step three, protect the bed with plastic. Step four, apply the ice pack and continue the treatment for 30 minutes. Step five, remove the pack dry carefully. And step six, repeat every 2 hours for the first 8 to 12 hours. And on the right is being careful or cautions when doing this. One, watch carefully to avoid injury to tissues from freezing. And two, protect the bed properly. And below the picture of the ice cube says an ice pack can help decrease swelling. And over here are the ice pack contents or how the ice pack treatment helps. In its uses. Its purpose. Well, one, and if a sprain or torn ligament is being treated after the cold has been used 8 to 12 hours, then using hot and cold or contrast baths are helpful for overcoming stiffness. Massage or light stroking toward the heart may be started as soon as pain has decreased. Between treatments, it is important to give support by bandaging. Movement is important as early as possible to prevent stiffness. Two, frostbite can be treated by use of cold and gives much relief of pain, decreases the swelling, and decreasing tissue damage. The part must be kept elevated if it is a lower limb. Three, helpful in case of joint inflammation and rheumatic fever, acute infection, and arthritis. Four, helpful in treatment of bursitis. And five, helpful in treatment of burns. Here says, the swelling reminds us how some people become lifted up, and pride because of their part in helping someone during the time when sick. Jesus is the only one we should reverence and lift up for healings. Continue our reference reading for the water topic of our tiny talk to us in review, chapter 21, Bethesda and the Sanhedrin, part 7, final. For this reason, he had chosen the Sabbath upon which to perform the act of healing at Bethesda. He could have healed the sick man as well as any other day of the week, or he might simply have cured him without bidding him bear away his bed, but this would not have given him the opportunity he desired. A wise purpose underlay every act of Christ's life on earth. Everything he did was important in itself and in its teaching. Among the afflicted ones at the pool, he selected the worst case upon whom to exercise his healing power, and bade the man carry his bed through the city in order to publish the great work that had been wrought upon him. This would raise the question of what was lawful to do on the Sabbath, and would open the way for him to denounce the restrictions of the Jews in regard to the Lord's Day and to declare their traditions void. In such a case, men would miss the fruits of the earth and the blessings that make life desirable. Nature must continue her unvarying course. God cannot for a moment stay his hand, or man would faint and die. And man also has a work to perform on this day. The necessities of life must be attended to. The sick must be cared for. The wants of the needy must be supplied. He will not be held guiltless who neglects to relieve suffering on the Sabbath. God's holy rest day was made for man, and acts of mercy are in perfect harmony with its intent. God does not desire his creatures to suffer an hour's pain that may be relieved upon the Sabbath or on any other day. And over here is a bonus question. Why do most animals stay near water? Well, the answer is, for one thing, they need to go water because water is one of the most important things animals need, since it's daily for their drink. And it's also used to keep them cool on hot summer days like today. And on the left, F is the review, a sick man healed. Lesson 1, poor or Bethesda. 2, wilt thou be made whole. 3, rise. 4, reverence the Sabbath. 5, sin brings disease. 6, charges. Next Sabbath, we begin a new lesson of our water topic. And I'll turn the mic back to Mom now.
Remember, dear ones, bring them in. Bring them in. Bring the wanderers to Jesus. Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us in the room. Our opening song is a hymn entitled, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, which is the theme to our lesson. You can find it in number 290 in the hymn book if you would like to be able to join us in the singing of the hymn. You may unmute your mic to do so, dear ones. O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's a light for a looker, the Savior, a life more abundant and free. Turn eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the veils of will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Through death into life everlasting. He passed and we follow him there. O'er us sin no more had dominion. For more than conquerors we are. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Come sing. Come on, Chrissy. His word. So right here. His word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him, and all will be well. And go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, the foot in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim, and the light of his glory and grace.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear family. If anyone of the elder sibling, mommies or daddies, or even our guests would like to open our review section with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Sabbath blessings, everybody. Thank you, God, for waking up for this morning. And please protect this. Please protect the Sabbath word they're about to learn. Please protect the people that's here. People that's not here, they come back to the Sabbath. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Our opening scripture for our review lesson is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, verses 4 to 6. It's a memory verse CD song from the scripture section of the memory promises.
Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord
Amen. Praise the Lord. I hope you can hear there's no sound.
I can hear you.
Testing, testing. Thank you so much, dear sister. I'm hoping by God's grace, everybody could be able to hear. What have we learned in ways we have grown, dear ones? We are going to take a few minutes to be able to review part one of our part seven, dear ones. Welcome to all the precious brethren. Who would like to take the first paragraph, dear ones? May you unmute your mic.
Everyone. Reading from Desire of Ages, page 732. Even now Pilate was not left to act blindly. A message from God warned him from the deed he was about to commit. In answer to Christ's prayer, the wife of Pilate had been visited by an angel from heaven, and in a dream she had beheld the Savior and conversed with him. Pilate's wife was not a Jew. But as she looked upon Jesus in her dream, she had no doubt of his character or mission. She knew him to be the Prince of God. She saw him on trial in the judgment hall. Next slide, please.
Who would like to take the following paragraph, dear one?
Continuing. She saw the hands tightly bound as the hands of a criminal. She saw Herod and his soldiers doing their dreadful work. She heard the priests and rulers filled with envy and malice, madly accusing. She heard the words, "We have a law. And by our law, he ought to die." She saw Pilate give Jesus the scourging after he had declared, "I find no fault in him." She heard the condemnation pronounced by Pilate and saw him give Christ up to his murderers. Next slide, please.
The Desire of Ages, page 732. Continuing. She saw the cross uplifted on Calvary. She saw the earth wrapped in darkness and heard the mysterious cry, "It is finished." Still, another scene met her gaze. She saw Christ seated upon the great white cloud while the earth reeled in space and his murderers fled from the presence of his glory. With a cry of horror, she awoke and at once wrote to Pilate words of warning. Desire of Ages, page 732, paragraph 1.
Continuing the reading. Desire of Ages, page 732. While Pilate was hesitating as to what he should do, a messenger pressed through the crowd and handed him the letter from his wife, which read, "Have thou nothing to do with this just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him." The Desire of Ages, page 732, paragraph. Continue on to the next slide.
Sabbath blessing, everyone. Sorry about that. Desire of Ages, page 733. Pilate's face grew pale. He was confused by his own conflicted emotion. But while he had been delayed to act, the priest and ruler were still further inflaming the mind of the people. Pilate was forced to act. Pilate was forced to action. He now
bestowed himself as of a custom which might serve to secure Christ's release. It was customary at this feast to release some one prisoner who the people might choose. Next slide, please. Continuing the reading, Desiree's page 733. This custom was a pagan invention. There was not a shadow of judgment in it, but it was greatly prized by the Jews. The Roman authorities at this time held a prisoner named Barabbas, who was under the sentence of death. This man had claimed to be a Messiah. He claimed authority to establish a different order of things to set the world right. Desire Ages, page 733. Next slide, please. And I'm going to bubble down.
Five Ages, page 733, continuing. You have to repeat what I say. Under satanic.
Under
satanic. No. Under
Christian.
Under
satanic. Satanic.
Kind.
Satanic.
Panic.
Okay, never mind. Under satanic delusion, he claimed that whatever he could obtain by theft and robbery was his own. He had done wonderful things through satanic agencies. He had gained a following among the people and had excited sedition against the Roman government. Under cover of religious enthusiasm, he was a hardened and desperate villain bent on rebellion and cruelty. Next slide, please.
Continuing on page 733 of the Desire of Ages, by giving the people a choice between this man and the innocent Savior, Pilate thought to arouse them to a sense of justice. He hoped to gain their sympathy for Jesus in opposition to the priests and rulers. So turning to the crowd, he said with great earnestness, "Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ?" Desire of Ages, page 733. Paragraph 1.
The Desire of Ages, page 733. But the bellowing of wild beasts came the answer of the mob, "Release unto us Barabbas." Louder and louder swelled the cry, "Barabbas, Barabbas." Thinking that the people had not understood his question, Pilate asked, "Will ye that I release unto you the King of the Jews?" But they cried out again, "Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas." Next slide, please.
Continuing, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" Pilate asked. Again, the surging multitude roared like demons. Demons themselves in human form were in the crowd. And what could be expected but the answer, "Let him be crucified." These are Ages, page 733, paragraph 2.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear family. Let us consider this verse for our review section, taken from 1 Peter 3:15, King James. "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. What have we learned in ways we have grown? We have the 6 questions that we held from our first section of part 7. I will read it out for the sake of those that are not able to see the screen and they can be able to hear. And if they move to participate, they might be able to open their mind to do so. The first one is, who is the main character or characters? Number 2, what is the main idea for this section of our story? Number 3, where did the story take place? Number 4, when did the story begin? Number 5, how could you relate to the story? And our last one, number 6, what did you learn from this lesson? If you are able to text it in the room, you can do so. Otherwise, you can use your mic, dear ones. Who would like to take the first one?
The answer to question number 1 is, we see Jesus here, we see Pilate, and here we also see that Pilate's wife was introduced as well for this particular section.
The answer to question 2 was the main idea for the section of our story. Pilate make a decision on what to do with Jesus.
The answer to question number 3, where did the story take place? We see that this section of the story is taking place in the judgment hall of Pilate.
I believe number 4 is when, this part of the story is when he's sent back by Herod to Pilate's judgment hall.
Number 5, how could you relate to the story? I think we have been talking in depth a little bit just how we saw that in Christ's silence there is eloquence, and that sometimes we're put in a position to choose and the situation seems complicated, but we have to also always make sure that we choose aright, choose what is pleasing to the Lord. Not for just an immediate relief of situation, but by the grace of God, to do what is right. And we see here that Pilate didn't want to lose his place in his power. So he, even though was given instructions, and still yet his wife, who was pointed out here, who was not a Jew, was able to see in a vision, in a dream, the beginning from the end, and also gave him instructions on what to do and not to make the decision that he made. So how could you relate to the story? Be still and trust God and let God. And that is how I'm able to relate to the story.
I would like to read a comment that our dear brother placed in the room. He said, God is merciful and Pilate is without excuse for his choice. I would like to touch on number 6 just to see how much the Lord really loved all of his creatures. Even though that this woman was not necessarily a Jew, as you can see the extent of how he will go to be able to save the soul. Not only did he was able to let her see everything that was happening, but as far as it's coming as well, it is very humbling to know that he still can communicate, even with hearts that are not ready at the very moment, but the Lord still, he draws us. In every walk of life, he is still there to be able to communicate with us, either when we sleep, or when we awake, or when we walk in, when we have our troubles, as we even look at nature and the circumstances in our surrounding, just knowing how merciful and how loving he is, it is very, very comforting in my soul. And I pray that God will be able to continue awakening the circumstances that are happening around the world to those that may not know where or how that they can be communicated, even if it's this method, to be able to speak to them, to let them know, to let their call on election shore. Anybody else would like to share? May you unmute your mic, dear one.
I would just like to add to that in that as I was looking in this section of the story, and I was amazed as well as to that the Lord can choose any instrumentality to bring across or to give a warning or a message, either to save or to warn or to give direction and instruction. Just teaching me that, you know, never dismiss anything that any person or anyone is saying. Just really listen and really maybe, you know, line upon line, precept upon precept, and make the decision based on what is being said.
Does anybody else would like to be able to? Our dear brother also says, amen, God can use even a donkey. Yeah, that's what I call myself too. There was. You can take Jesus everywhere. That's allowing him to be able to ride upon your person and allow him to do the work that he does best, how to save each soul. That was my sister, Gina. Well, dear ones, we are going to continue to share our thoughts, favorite poem, and also special music. Our thought is taken from the Spirit of Prophecy book entitled Testimony of the Churches, Volume 9, Called to be Witnesses, pages 19. Paragraph 2 to page 20, paragraph 2 margin. And the opening scripture is taken from Psalms 5, verses 14 to 15, King James, and it reads, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house." Who would like to take the first paragraph, dear ones? May you unmute your mic.
The most solemn truths that were entrusted to mortals have been given us to proclaim to the world. The proclamation of these truths is to be our work. The world is to be warned, and God's people are to be true to the trust committed to them. They are not to engage in speculation, neither are they to enter into business enterprises with unbelievers, for this would hinder them in their God-given work.
Christ says of his people, "Ye are the light of the world," Matthew 5:14. It is not a small matter that the counsels and plans of God have been so clearly opened to us. It is a wonderful privilege to be able to understand the will of God as revealed in the sure words of prophecy. This places on us a heavy responsibility. God expects us to impart to others the knowledge that he has given us. It is his purpose that divine and human instrumentalities shall unite in the proclamation of the warning's message. Continuing.
Continuing the reading. So far as his opportunities extend, everyone who has received the light of truth is under the same responsibility as was the prophet of Israel to whom came the word. Son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me when I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity. But thou hast delivered thy soul. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 7 through 9, and this was taken from I think it's volume 9 of the testimonies, page 19, paragraph 4. Mm-hmm.
Are we to wait until the fulfillment of the prophecies of the end before we say anything concerning them? Of what value will our words be then? Shall we wait until God's judgments fall upon the transgressor before we tell him how to avoid them? Where is our faith in the word of God? Must we see things foretold come to pass before we will believe what he has said? In clear, distinct rays, light has come to us, showing us that the great day of the Lord is near at hand, even at the doors. Let us read and understand before it is too late.
Amen. Praise the Lord. This also highlights that even Pilate's wife, truth had came to her, even if it was through a dream, and she was able to proclaim it by warning her husband from the wicked ways that he was supposed to choose and not stand for principle regardless of what he would lose. And that will be the same situation. It doesn't matter in what way the Lord gave us a truth to proclaim, especially the third angel's message on the Lord cry. If we love individuals, if we love our neighbors, if we love the people that the Lord had died for, we must use our voices now. We cannot use it later. Later, it will be no use. We have to be able to let them know that it is a message of mercy. It's a way of escape. So I pray by God's grace that we will have not only the courage, but to allow the Holy Spirit to use us in whatever manner that he will do to the glory of God. Just wanted to say that. And now we are going to share a poem. It's entitled, I Hope for Heaven, taken from the Children Activity Book, Year 2, Quarter 4, Lesson 8, from page 200, from the Sunlight Education Ministry, Homeschooling from the Bible. Who would like to take the first one, dear one? May you unmute your mic.
Number 1. 'Tis not for earth's treasure I seek, its honor or wealth or renown, but a home with a holy and meek when Jesus shall give them a crown.
Number 2. 'Tis not for the streets paved with gold, the palm or the harp, which shall be we shall bear, that I long for the mansions above, but it is that my Savior is there.
Number 3. I will not unwillingly do his commands, which I know to be just, nor bow like a slave to his will, because I will know that I must. Number 4. But cheerfully, gladly, would give my affections and services free, nor would I sit at suffering grief for his sake, who suffered for me.
Dear ones, my son and I are going to share a duet.
Okay. You want to come? Live as children of the light. Find out what pleases the Lord. Live as children of the light. Find out what pleases the Lord. For the fruit of light consists in all goodness and righteousness. So live as children of the light. Find out what pleases the Lord. Peer pressure. They call it peer pressure. You know what's right to do, but the crowd keeps pushing you. Peer pressure. When you feel peer pressure, remember what God said to do.
Live as children of the light. Find out what pleases the Lord. Live as children of the light, find out what pleases the Lord. For the fruit of life consists in our goodness and righteousness. So live as children of the light, find out what pleases the Lord. Peer pressure. They call it peer pressure. You know what's right to do, but the crowd keeps pushing you. Peer pressure. When you feel peer pressure, remember what God says to do.
Live as children of the light, find out what pleases the Lord. Live as children of the light, find out what pleases the Lord. For the fruit of life consists in all goodness and righteousness. So live as children of the light, find out what pleases the Lord.
For the fruit of life consists in our goodness and righteousness. So live as children of the light. Find out what pleases the Lord. Find out what pleases the Lord. And that was given from the scripture, Ephesians 5:8. For ye were sometimes darkness, But now are ye light in the world, walk as children of the light. And the title is Live as Children of the Light. Well, dear ones, this is the section. If any one of the dear brethren have a testimony they would like to share, you may be able to do so. And I'm going to turn the mic to my sister. She would like to share a testimony.
Have a blessing, everyone. I'd like to thank God. I would like to say, last week,
we can't hear you.
You don't have to come close. But you can use your mic. I'll turn it off. Just a minute, dear one.
You could hear me?
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. I rented this space to a person, and I think I rented on June 15. And as soon as the person came, I was so happy. Okay, the space looked good. She likes it. And then as soon as she came in, she started to text me all the things that was wrong with the space. She felt like, you know, the appliance wasn't good and all these different things. And she told me that she's going to take it out from what she needs to give me a month. And it was so overbearing that I couldn't work. I couldn't eat. And I kept asking the Lord, Lord, but it's already a contract. I can't break a contract. So I kept asking the Lord and pleading with the Lord. I said, Lord, please remove this person. Or if you cannot remove it, just calm her down. It was every day. I have letters over letters, texting, all the different things. So the burden was so hard to bear that my sister said, let us go and pray. Go on our knees and pray and ask the Lord what he could do or remove her from the space. So we went to the space and we went on our knees and we prayed. My sister, Josh, and I, and we went on our knees. Guys, the next day, the person gave me a termination of the lease. I never been so happy. I was so happy for that. But it was such a great burden that I'm so happy that we have God, that we could be able to go on our knees and we pray and we ask diligent and he always hears us. And I'm so happy about that. That is my testimony.
Praise the Lord indeed. Does anyone else would like to be able to share testimony, dear ones? May you unmute your mic. We are going to continue in our study, dear ones. We have come to the end of our children review section of our study, dear. Next Sabbath, we will continue with part 8 of our lesson entitled In Pilate's Judgment Hall in our storybook, Desire Ages. Who would like to be able to close our family meetings with prayer, dear ones? May you unmute your mic to do so.
May we bow our heads and our knees. Dear Heavenly Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy most and holy name. We thank you so very much for bringing us back again safely throughout this week to another Sabbath day. We thank you for all the blessings, Father Jesus, and all the participation of the children and their parents. Father, thank you for all the blessings that you have incurred upon us throughout the week and all the special things that you have done for each and every one of us that are not short of miracles, Father. Please be with us to the rest of the day. Be with us until the next section of the studies. Be with the speaker. Bless him. And that we might, whatever we do and say, may be to your honor and glory for the rest of this day. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer. Amen.
In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. So next Sabbath, by God's grace, we are going to continue in our chapter 77 entitled In Pilate's Judgment Hall. That will be part 8, and that will take place July 22nd, 2023. And it will be a lesson 387. Dear ones, this is our section where we have the opportunity to hear all the beautiful gardens among our brethren. This one, we're going to continue to highlight our dear sister Joan. And next week, we will be able to see also our dear sister Michelle's garden. And I have found some other quotes that I will share as well concerning the flowers and how wonderful those instruments are going to be a blessing to all of us. And if we have a moment, I don't want to make a mistake to know which one these are. I'm getting to learn all the beautiful flowers as well. I think these are amaryllis. If I'm wrong, if our dear sister Michelle or sister Joan will be able to share, what are they? You can be able to do so by muting your mic, dear ones. Okay, praise the Lord. I'm getting there. It is amaryllis. They are so beautiful. We are going to have this section to be able to share. And I learned some lessons of these flowers. And by God's grace, let's see if we can fit it in, that it can be able to make the children understand that each flower in its unique way also is a representation of all the beautiful ones and those beautiful garden of souls that the Lord has among us. Well, dear ones, may you enjoy your nature walk, and God bless.